Yoshua Perek Tes Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So the saga of the Bnei Givon comes to an end. Vayomer Aleihem Hanasiim Yichyu. So the Nasiim, the princes of Klal Yisrael, told the rest of the Jews, they must live. You have to let them live. There is nothing we can do to kill them. We made an oath. But Vayiyu Chotvei Eitzim V'Shoavei Mayim L'Chol Ha'Eda. They said, let them live. But what has to happen to them isn't to let them come in as equals into Klal Yisrael. So instead, what they were made into, and most people say that this was Yehoshua's enactment, Yehoshua himself is going to say it in a few psukim, they became wood choppers and water drawers, water carriers, for the entire congregation, for all of Klal Yisrael, kasher dibru lohem anasiim, as the Nasiim had told them. The wood choppers, the Radak says that this part of Vayihiyu isn't part of what the Nasiim said. This is and what happened, that this is what then occurred. Others say that this may have been part of their conversation, but then the word va, and so they were, which is past tense, would be inappropriate here. So what it really seems to be is a narration of what happened next. Now, Klal Yisrael had declared that the Bnei Givon would live, but they did not say what would happen to them. So they have every right to turn them into servants, and very lowly servants at that, which is kind of a tax and slavery all at the same time. The Malbim says, despite the fact that they were from the Shiva Amamin, we have to do this in order to fulfill the terms of the oath, but at the same time to realize that what had happened and we had been tricked. Why wood choppers and water drawers? So the Das Sofrim says, because that would give them the least impact upon the Jewish people to bring them down, because they are going to be doing extremely menial tasks that keep them separate. However, part of the hope was that by being around the Jewish people so much, because these are tasks that are every day and that everybody needs, perhaps they would learn from us. And we'll see, unfortunately, that that did not happen. Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayikra Lahem Yehoshua. So now Yehoshua called them, the Givonites, and he called them forward, Vayidaber Aleihem Lemar, and he said to them, saying, Lama Rimisem Osanu Lemar, Rechokim Anachnu Mikem Ma'od. Why did you trick us? Why did you deceive us, saying, we are from places very distant from you, very far away? You dwell among us. This is a rhetorical question. There's really not much that they can answer to it, although they will try to answer in a moment. But Yehoshua continues, Chav Gimel, V'ata Aru Rimatem. And now you are cursed. And the status of this, the man Lois says, is a nidui, is a cherem type of situation, a banishment. Jews can't come within dalaramos of them. It turns them into a permanent underclass, a permanent untouchable caste. And Rashi says in the Gemara that a decree was made by Chazal, by the Rabbanon, that they would not be allowed to marry Jewish either. So they wouldn't be integrated into the Jewish people. So they are going to be slaves, and they're not going to be complete and proper Jews. So you are cursed. V'lo yikares mekem eved. And there will never cease to be yikares. The line will not end. To be slaves. V'chot ve'etzim. Woodchoppers. V'shoave mayim. And water drawers. Leves elokai. And this is different. Yehoshua, in his wisdom, decided not to do what the Nasiim had done and make them into lowly laborers, not for anybody's direct benefit. Rather, he said that you're going to have to work by the Mishkan, and that is where you are going to be enslaved and you are going to be working. Yehoshua hoped, according to some interpretations of this, that because they were at the Mishkan and saw the best of human behavior, saw kapara, saw the activity of the Mishkan, saw the Avodas Hashem, that this would have an even greater impact upon them, and they would be influenced by the Jewish values rather than the other way around. But Chaf Dalad, the Givonites say, Vayanos Yehoshua Vayomru, they answered Yehoshua and said, Ki hu geid hu gad la avodecha, Isa sher tzivo Hashem Elokecha es Moshe Avdo. Why did we do what we did? Because it was told to your servants, by saying lavodecha, they're already accepting the servitude. It was told to us, your servants, that which Hashem, your God, had commanded Moshe, his servant, loseis lochem es kol haaretz, to give to all of you, the Jewish people, the entire land of Canaan, ulahashmed es kol yoshvei haaretz mipneichem, and to destroy, to exterminate, to wipe out all of the inhabitants of the land from in front of you. And we were very afraid for our very lives in front of you. So therefore we did this thing. So they're kind of justifying it. But at the same time, they're saying it was pure pikuach nefesh on our parts. Again, perhaps this works into the idea that they had originally rejected the peace terms and then come to their senses. Chaf hei, ve'ata hinenu v'yodecha katov b'chayoshor b'enecha lasos lanu aseh. So behold, therefore, right now we are in your hands. According to what is good and just and right in your eyes, to do to us, go ahead and do. We accept your judgment, but katov v'chayoshar, we request kindness, clemency, we request mercy, as well as strict justice. So kayoshar would be a strict din. Katov implies rachamim. So vayas lohem kein chavav. So Yehoshua did so, and he did so unto them. Vayatzelo sam miyad b'nei Yisrael, and he saved them from the hand of Klal Yisrael. So it's clear that the by far the public opinion was to wipe them out, to kill them all. But he saved them from the hands of the Jewish people, v'lo harogum, and he did not kill them, and they did not kill them. So Klal Yisrael accepted the rules. Had they not accepted servitude and taxes, they would have been killed. The people, the Malbim says, felt that the Shavua was null and void. It was only made by the Siyam, not by the rest of us. Very interesting point that Shaul HaMelech is going to get in great trouble later for always succumbing to the will of the masses. When Amalek comes around, he listens to the people. When the people kind of urge him to go in one direction or another, he follows them. That's a weak leader. Yehoshua, however, stood in opposition to the people, and they respected him all the more for it. Last pasuk of Zion, by name Yehoshua, by Yomahu, and so on that day, Yehoshua made them into chotvei etzim, woodchoppers, v'shoavei mayim, and water carriers, la'ida, for the congregation, but particularly ula mizbach Hashem, for the mizbeach of Hashem, the altar, meaning for the Mishkan, ad hayom hazeh, until today, el hamakom asher yivchor, in the place where he would choose, meaning they would be servants for the Mishkan and all its future locations. So the Givonim ended up serving in Shiloh, in Nov, in Givon, and in Yerushalayim eventually. However, unfortunately, Yehoshua's hopes for the Givonim never came true, and a relationship that starts with deception and fakery isn't going to go very far. Communication is the cornerstone of a good relationship. In the end, the Givonim actually absorbed nothing from Klal Yisrael. Much later in Sefer Shmuel, we find that the Givonim were working in Nov, where the Mishkan was, when David HaMelech, then on the run from Shaul, who wanted to kill him, hid there without anybody's knowledge and without telling anybody, or without anybody's knowledge that he was public enemy number one at any rate. And so when Shaul found out, egged on by one of his very evil advisors, Shaul ordered the massacre of the entire city of Nov. Because the Givonim were there, it's a question, what happened to them? Some say that the Givonim were massacred along with the rest of the inhabitants of Nov. Others say that the Givonim were spared, only the Kohanim were murdered at Nov. But the Givonim then had absolutely no way to make a livelihood and had been left destitute. Later on, when David becomes king and Shaul dies, the Givonim come to David to demand that Shaul's descendants be handed over to them. Because the treaty had been abrogated, the agreement that Yehoshua had made to let them live in peace and not suffer had been broken. And David HaMelech, against his will and better judgment, but because he felt he had no choice halachically, handed over several of Shaul's children and grandchildren to the Givonim, who promptly murdered them, hanged them, and left the bodies hanging there for months in a very un-Jewish, awful and vengeful way. David HaMelech then declared that it is clear that the Givonim have absorbed no Jewish values whatsoever. They have remained bloodthirsty Knanim through all the generations. Perhaps 450 years, they have still held on to that kind of angry, vengeful approach to how they deal with Jews. And so David declared them Nesinim. And when it says in the Gemara that you're not allowed to marry a Mamzer or a Nesin, the Nesin is frequently said to refer to the descendants and these Givonim, who never properly integrated into Judaism. Yehoshua was suspicious of them from the beginning with very good reason, and in the end they proved that the suspicion was warranted, and that they did not truly desire to become like the Jewish people, they only wanted to save their own necks.